What's up, everybody? It's the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, joined as always on a Tuesday by Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. And Mike, we don't live too far apart, even though you're covering the Leafs. You're in Niagara Falls, Canada, and I'm in the north towns now of Buffalo. So really, we're not that far a drive away from each other. And man, it turned quick from warm to cold because I'm sitting in here. I think I got a long sleeve shirt and a hoodie while recording this podcast.
Yeah, it definitely did. Like, I was less than a week ago, I was out there and sweating in shorts and a tee, and now I'm like, man, it might have to bring out the khakis and sweaters pretty soon. It's crazy how quickly it turns. But, I mean, everybody rags on Canada for having, like, terrible weather and four seasons and snow and all that. Y'all in Buffalo get it just as bad, and most of the northeast of America gets it just as bad as most of Canada. It's kind of funny when that happens, but
yeah, that's definitely true. South towns of Buffalo, especially, because then you get that lake effect snow, which just piles on. I'm avoiding that now, not completely, because we still get it a bunch just north of the city. But yeah, no, you're right. Like, Buffalo weather, if they're ever making fun of Canada weather, like, it's probably worse here just because we get that lake effect snow on top of it. So
it is. There was times where I've been driving through Buffalo and it's an absolute blizzard outside. You can't see a foot in front of you. There are snow banks that are 3 feet high. And then I cross over the border, not even a blanket of snow on the grass. Not even a blanket. It's wild.
That happens. Well, we're getting into it's hockey weather, right? Like, finally, we don't have the playoffs when it's blistering heat outside. It makes it feel a little bit more normal, I think, now that we're getting closer to the fall, to the more consistent fall weather. And we've still got the playoffs going on. We are in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Islanders trail the Lightning 3-1. We'll spend a bunch of time on today's podcast talking about that, as we usually focus on the Eastern Conference here on Tuesdays. A couple of other things that have been going on around the league we'll bring up, including the Dallas Stars advancing to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since the year 2000. And before we get into the East, where we'll spend most of our time, you got a quick thought on the Stars and Vegas Golden Knights series? Dallas, on our Friday show with my co-host Tom Gazzola, in fact, this was actually maybe at the beginning of the playoffs, like, what team's window is closing? We're like, this is when they have to do it. Like, this is their window of contention is now. And we both brought up Dallas in the framework of that conversation because they at one point in the regular season, they were the oldest team in the league. I think that they were still the oldest team in the league when the playoffs started. A bunch of guys in their 30s that are playing important roles for them. And even in net, like Anton Khudobin and Ben Bishop, both in their 30s. And like, to me, like, this was when Dallas had to win. I didn't personally think they were going to do it, though. So hats off to them because they've played phenomenal through these playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. This is probably, you know, one of the handful of teams that had to be in win now territory, because going forward, you know, you've got Jamie Benn, who's aging out and seems to have a bit of a resurgence here in the playoffs, which is really nice to see after struggling the last couple of years. You know, Joe Pavelski's up into his mid-30s. Corey Perry's on the downswing of his career on the back end. Andre Sequeira, you know, Tyler Seguin's approaching 30 years old. And then you mentioned it, the goaltenders are both into their 30s as well. So if they needed to win, it was going to have to happen now. But the thing about this Dallas team, and I really like what they did in the offseason. I did a couple of podcasts after free agency, and I gloated about how much I loved Dallas's offseason. They went out, they picked up Pavelski, Perry, Sequeira, and I thought that picking up those pieces, those depth guys, was going to be really, really good for them going into this season, and it's proven to be just that. I think the biggest thing about them is Miro Heiskanen has arrived, and Miro Heiskanen has, I don't want to say single-handedly brought this team to a Stanley Cup final, but he's a big reason and probably the biggest reason for it. This kid is unbelievable. I know all the talk, it really went around Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar in terms of young up-and-coming stud defensemen this year, but Miro Heiskanen's fought his way into that category. And for me, so far, right now, I think he is the leading candidate for the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Ooh, good. That I think I agree with that. For as of now, I think if the Lightning beat the Islanders tonight, and we're recording this on Tuesday morning, then I might slide to Braden Point on that. But at this moment, with them already advancing, if I had to make a bet on someone, I think I would pick Heiskanen as well. He leads them in points in the playoffs with 22 points in 20 games as a 20-year-old defenseman. Yeah.
Defenseman. It's insane. Insane.
Another player worth mentioning here, because we did, I mentioned right off the bat, like they're an older team, like Joe Pavelski, Corey Perry, Jamie Benn, even Alex Radulov is in 33. Those are all important players. Blake Como too is skating around for them still. But Denis Gurianov at 22, add him to Heiskanen and is like, these are some young guys that could keep them afloat once that aging core I just mentioned is gone or over the hill. Because Gurianov's been great. He's not playing a big amount of minutes. He's only playing 14 minutes a night, but in that secondary score role, he's got 15 points in 20 games, and he's been noticeable for me. So he's a guy worth mentioning here as like a young up-and-coming, not even up-and-coming, like he's playing well. He's playing well in these playoffs. So Dallas isn't completely old.
No, Gurianov is a player I've been really high on for a while now. And if people listen to our hockey card investing special that we do here on the Locked On NHL podcast, I've been talking about him for the past couple of months now to invest in Gurianov. And I'd said so before the playoffs started. I said so midway through the playoffs. And here we are. Gurianov's the man who sends the Dallas Stars into the Stanley Cup final. So hopefully you listen to me. I think that Gurianov is going to be a guy who's going to be able to put up 30 goals a season. And like you said, kind of keep the Stars relevant once these aging core players start to move on from the Stars.
And while we're on that series, quickly on the Vegas Golden Knights, who sadly, I had a Stanley Cup bet on that I made in December when their odds were super good. That looked really good for a long time. They were playing great, but they get bounced by Dallas in five. But the goaltending situation has been the bigger kind of talking point around them for this entire postseason, where they went to Robin Lehner over Marc-Andre Fleury. There have been reports that they want to sign Lehner and that they even maybe have a framework of a five-year deal in place. David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period was reporting that last week, that they have a five-year deal kind of in agreement. They just got to work out a little, like some last-minute things between them and Lehner. And if that's the case, you've already got Fleury, and I think he's got 2 years left at $7 million. Plus, he's got a modified no trade clause. And we've talked extensively about like what this goalie market is going to look like in the upcoming offseason, which, by the way, we now know free agency will start on October 9th. So when we talk about Braden Holtby and Jacob Markstrom and Robin Lehner, if he hits the market, like we know that that's going to happen now on October 9th. But on Vegas, here's another name. Here's another goalie that, if Lehner signs, Fleury might become an option for somebody. Now, if I am like one of our teams, like if the Sabres or the Leafs, who I think both still would be a part of this goalie conversation for the offseason, if I'm trading for Marc-Andre Fleury, who I still think is a good goaltender in the league, I don't think he's as good as he once was, and he had a down season this year, and he's going to be 36 years old, plus the $7 million cap hit, all of that together, I would need them to either retain a big chunk of that salary if I'm taking Fleury on as an acquiring team, or I hate to say it because I do still think he's a good player, but I think Vegas, $7 million, I would want something in return for taking that salary.
Yeah, and the thing too is it's straight cash. Like there was no signing bonus included in Marc-Andre Fleury's contract, or unless it got voided during the expansion draft, which I doubt that happened, but
yeah, I don't think it did.
It doesn't look like I'm just looking on Cap Friendly right now. The only player who actually has a signing bonus this year is Mark Stone. So I don't know if that's actually legit or if this is a glitch or if none of the players that they took in the draft lottery ended up getting signing bonuses. But regardless, Marc-Andre Fleury, it looks like you're going to have to pay the full $7 million sled. And there are not a lot of teams right now. There was a report coming out that as many as 17 teams are going to be looking to cut costs and work with an internal cap. That $81.5 million cap that they're going to have next season is pretty much a bogus number at this point, because there's as many, like I said, as 17 teams that are going to be working closer in the mid to low 70s in their cap, and bringing on a contract like Andre Fleury, not only for you know, the $7 million cap hit, but also they're going to have to pay $7 million next season in actual money. That's not going to be a very attractive piece. And when you look at a guy like Frederik Anderson, who's younger, he has a $4 million signing bonus, and you only have to pay $1 million in actual salary if you trade for him. So, you know, when it comes to the trade market, I don't know if Fleury is going to garner as much interest as you would think, strictly just because of the cash and the lack of cash flow that's going to be going through the league. And I don't think owners are going to be signing off to bring on a $7 million, 36-year-old goaltender with two more years left on his deal.
That's where I'm at on that too. And I mentioned in that the free agency period is going to open on Friday, October 9th at 12 PM. And we have spent a lot of time on like when things will reopen, when next season will begin. Mike, if free agency is opening on October 9th, I've been using January 1st as just like a basic starting point for when I could educated guess on when the Sabre season and the next NHL season might begin. But I don't know, October 9th, if that's free agency and the draft is before that on October 6th and 7th, I don't think I'd be stunned, given also how well it's been going in the bubble. Again, no announced previous tests this week, that I think I could see the league starting next season before the new year.
Does not surprise me either, honestly. And it's the NHL. They never make the right decision. So odds are they'll be the first league to get back into action. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the NHL back before the NBA. The NBA has already come out and said it's very unlikely that they do end up going forward with their initial December 1st that they said that they might be returning back. They said they'd be surprised if we see games before Christmas. And I think the NHL's, there's some rumblings of kind of the same, but you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs, I feel like is wrapping up a lot quicker than people intended. Like, this could have potentially gone into October, and just the way that everything has gone so smoothly and quickly, and it seems like it, you know, the East Conference Final could end in five tonight. Like, I'll put some money down that it'll end in five tonight, and we could see the Cup Final starting up in a couple of days, and it could be over by before you know it. Like, it could be over before September ends, right? And yep. I think at that point, you know, 2 months from then, you've got December 1st. I mean, that could potentially be a chance to start back September 1st. You get maybe a month and a half off, and then, or maybe 2 months off, and then you're starting training camps either late November, or maybe that's when you start your training camps. And then you do about a week of training camps, and away you go. You start next season, and you start to try and work your way back to that original September, October start that eventually I think the NHL would like to get back to.
Yeah. And we got a couple of other league things to get to before we get more into Islanders and Lightning. Before we do that, though, I want to take a quick minute to talk to you about rockauto.com, a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are all reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, does not require membership or account login. They got everything from control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, back here on the Locked On NHL podcast. We had a coach hire in the league this week, and you know, I've criticized the Sabres or other teams before for kind of going to the same pool of coaches over and over and over again. But there was a pretty significant name that was available in Peter Laviolette, who's been bouncing around the past couple of years. But the Washington Capitals have named Laviolette as their head coach. Their former coach, Todd Reirden, by the way, was announced as an assistant with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Washington will be picking up $2.5 million that Nashville or that owed to Laviolette from Nashville. So they'll be paying him an extra $2.5 million to make him their head coach Any thoughts on this hire? It seems like a pretty straightforward hire to me. He was the best name on the market. You're the Washington Capitals. You're still a contending team. Like, you should have no problem making that choice.
Yeah, I mean, what they wanted was somebody who had they wanted a veteran, a guy who's been there before and can kind of hone this team in. They got a veteran team. I think a veteran coach is what they need. Todd Reirden was kind of a misstep by them, thinking that he could come in from their AHL squad and try and instill his path onto this team, and it just didn't work for whatever reason. And then there was also the conversations that were kind of leaking out from the bubble that they weren't really into the bubble, and they were having a little bit of fun while they were in the bubble instead of being focused and zeroing in on trying to win another Stanley Cup. And just a couple days later, after they got eliminated, Todd Reirden found himself out of a job. So it kind of makes sense that that those stories kind of connect, and you could try and connect the dots. And to me, it makes sense. But for Laviolette, I do like the move. You know, you talk about a guy who's got over 1,200 games coach in the NHL. That checks their box in terms of wanting a guy who is a veteran. He's a guy who's been to a couple of Stanley Cup finals. He won a Stanley Cup as well when he was with Carolina. So, you know, he is a winner. He knows how to win. And I like the move. The problem that I have with it is the contract. And when you look at it, they're actually going to be paying Laviolette more money than the New York Islanders are paying Barry Trotz. And Why wouldn't you have just paid Trotz a couple of years ago after he won you a Stanley Cup? It makes no sense. And now they're just forking out cash like it's nothing to them, when apparently it is everything, because they didn't want to pay old Barry Trotz the money. And that's, I think, the thing that's going to bother Washington. But hey, you got to pay for your mistakes.
Yeah. Laviolette is 16th in NHL history in wins. There are seven active coaches that have more wins all time. Do you think you could name them without making a mistake?
Seven active coaches. Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. I'm sorry. 8 active coaches.
Oh, wow.
This might be tough, actually. Maybe one mistake is tough. Maybe I'll give you one mistake.
I probably could not do it. Okay. Joel Quenneville.
Yep. Second all time.
Head coaches right now or some assistants?
Hockey Reference has just head coaches in bolded. Although, well, Quenneville is the coach of the Panthers. So yeah, just active head coaches.
Okay.
Quenneville's second all time. So you nailed that one.
So we've got Quenneville. We have,
you just mentioned one of them.
Yeah. Trotz.
Barry Trotz, 4th all time, and he's 4 behind Ken Hitchcock. So he'll have no problem getting to 3rd all time pretty shortly here.
I was going to say Babs, but he is no longer employed, thankfully.
They have him highlighted here, so I'm going to go back to 7 for you. This list is a little quirky. He's 8th all-time, but he's not – he's, what, on University of New Hampshire's – he's like a special assistant right now, so he's not in the league.
Okay. Paul Maurice has been around forever.
Yes, that's a good one. I don't think – if this was flipped, I don't think I would have guessed Paul Maurice. He's 7th all-time with 732 wins. He's 4 behind another active coach.
He's literally been in the league for like 25 years. Like, so he's got to have a lot of wins. He's made the playoffs multiple times. He went to a cup final a couple of times. I think Paul Maurice has been a pretty darn good coach. I'm not surprised to see him up there. Obviously, I guessed it, but
he's got, I mean, he could go even higher because he started so young that he could really shoot up this list.
Yeah. Alain Vigneault's been around a while. He had some really good teams in New York. Also, good. In Vancouver, probably won a bunch.
Yep, 10th all-time. You're nailing this so far.
Claude Julien, probably.
Yep, 13th with 658.
And who's still around?
You're missing 6th all-time and 14th all-time. Well, Mike thinks this is active coaches with more wins all time than Peter Laviolette, who ranks 16th all time. So you've got a lot of active coaches high up this list.
Has Brucey Boudreau been? Is Brucey Boudreau up there?
No, he's 22nd. So another couple of seasons, if he gets back in, he'll be into the top 15 probably. But for now, he's 22nd all time.
How many more do I have?
You have two. You're missing 6th all time, and you're missing 14th all time. One was just hired. Torts is not the guy that was just hired, but he's right. 14th all time for Torts at 655. And then you're missing 6th all time who just got a new job.
Well, Laviolette.
Other than Laviolette.
Oh, I guess technically, he's seven. Just hired. Who was just hired? Let me think. Oh, I almost forgot. Our boy Lindy.
Lindy Ruff. 6th all time for my guy Lindy Ruff. Gotta love it.
I forgot that he just got hired and he's back in the league, actually.
I didn't think he was going to get another job. So I'm actually happy that he got another job personally, because I love Lindy Ruff. Meeting him personally, he's the coolest guy ever. And he's the best. He's the number one Sabre coach all time in almost every number. Getting one more job, he'll probably catch Al Arbor for 5th all time. So at the end of his career, he'll probably be 5th all time in wins. But again, we mentioned Paul Maurice, who's like, is Paul Maurice even 50 at this point? Like, he'll probably sneak up on him at some point. Paul Maurice is 53. So maybe he won't last in the top 5 forever, but Lindy's on his way to top 5. So little coaching trivia there on the heels of Peter Laviolette getting named head coach of the Washington Capitals. We'll get into some more serious stuff, playoff talk. We got Islanders and Lightning. We're going to get Mike's thoughts and my own thoughts on Game 5, which is happening tonight, and a potential Lightning versus Stars matchup should we see Tampa advance and make quick business of the Islanders here. Before we do that, though, I want to take a quick minute to talk to you about DoorDash, the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering's easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Cheesecake Factory, etc. Many of their favorite local restaurants of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities they operate safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LockedOnNHL. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LockedOnNHL. Don't forget, that's code LockedOnNHL for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, back here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Mike, I don't remember, it was a long time ago now. Playoffs seem like they happened forever ago, but we did our playoff picks, and I'm trying to remember, I know neither of us had the Dallas Stars in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Nope.
And I'm trying to remember if I had Tampa. I want to think I did. I don't think you did, though, because I think you had Toronto upsetting them in round 2, no?
Yeah, sadly I did, and that clearly didn't work out as well as I thought it would with that pick. I think I had the Rangers making it out of the East, which again, terrible pick. I don't know why people listen to me.
You were close. You had a New York. Let's just say you had New York going to the conference finals. You did pretty well.
I had a gut
that.
Feeling that it was going to be New York, and I made the assumption that it was going to be the Rangers, and it was just, you know, when you assume. Yeah. Make an ass out of yourself. I should have just an actual pick, which was the Islanders, but is what it is.
That's not a sexy. No one wants to pick the Islanders to go deep. And they're having trouble right now, so it doesn't look like they're going to end up winning it all anyway, but we'll see. Only one team ever has come back from 3-1 down to win a conference finals. That was surprising to me when I read that. Only the 2000 New Jersey Devils have come back from a 3-1 deficit to win a conference finals. But we'll see if the Islanders can do it. They've got the Tampa though just seems I don't think they can just because of how well Tampa is playing. And hey, they might be getting Steven Stamkos back in a week or two. That probably wouldn't be until the final, but Braden Point, like I've been so impressed with him in this postseason, because there's always been that little thought in the back of my mind, like, yeah, he's amazing, but how much of him being this good right now is that he plays with Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos? But Kucherov even has missed some time, or has missed some time within games. I don't think he's missed a certain game. But Point, and he's had some ice time away from Kucherov as well, he has been so good to me at driving play. He's so fast. His hands are so quick. And Mike, I think I mentioned this earlier when you brought up Miro Heiskanen as the Conn Smythe winner. I think if Tampa goes on to win the cup, I don't know who you'd pick. I think you could pick a bunch of different Lightning maybe. But I think my vote might be for Point if they end up winning it all.
It's got to be. Like, this kid's played unbelievably, and I'm not as surprised as most. I've been a huge Braden Point fan for a long time now, and I think that he is one of the best, like, one of the best up-and-coming centermen in this league. I personally think that he is the best centerman on the Tampa Bay Lightning. No disrespect to Stamkos, but I just think that Point is past him. Like, at this, pardon the pun, point of his career, I think that, you know, Braden, as we're going to refer to him at this point so that we don't say it 99 times, it has become the better player. And honestly, he's showing it here in these playoffs without Stamkos on the ice. And he spent some time away from Kucherov on a line with Palat and Killorn and Yanni Gord. And he's still just racking up the points. He is a line driver. He is not just a nice piece to have alongside your shiny toy in Kucherov or Stamkos. He is a guy who makes things happen. And he's making so much happen out there on the ice. And he's playing injured too. That's the thing. Like, he missed what, game two?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. And then he came back and had like a massive game three and played well in game four. And he should still keep scoring goals. And definitely 100% is the Tampa's pick for the Conn Smythe at this point in their season. Something I want to ask you, though, and it's kind of interesting. I read a report that the New York Islanders plan to do some line shuffling going into tonight's game. A team like the Islanders, who have, I want to say, I guess we could go with upset a bunch of the teams along the way, the Washington Capitals, the Philadelphia Flyers, two teams who were expected to make decent runs and could be cup contenders. They play a certain way of hockey. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to deviate from that certain way that you're playing by changing up your lines a little bit and changing your schemes, is that just admitting defeat?
You know, part of me says that it is, because especially the way, like you mentioned, the way the Islanders play, they're so structured and like there's so much chemistry between their line mates that they've got to squeeze every ounce of potential out of that group for me to think that they could ever beat a team like Tampa. Tampa, just top to bottom, is a more talented unit. And when you have to change your lines like that, part of me does think that, like, that's it. Like, you don't think you could beat them the way you've been winning. But the other part of me also wants to respect it, in that you're down 3-1. Tampa has controlled much of the play, and they have been the better team. And your season's about to end. And if you don't try something different before that happens, then you might be kicking yourself for the rest of the offseason. So in one way, I agree with you that I think that it's over for them. And I think that they are admitting defeat in one way by doing that. But two, I don't know what else you do. Because I think that going along the way you've been going, I think you're just going to lose. And to me, throwing a different combination out there, that I don't think it's a huge deal, but I also haven't seen what they're going to do. I did also see that they're going to change stuff up, but I don't know if they're going to throw Pageau up with Barzal maybe, like, on a wing, or if they're going to try to create, like, sometimes, like, Pittsburgh will do this, not necessarily going into a game, but if they're down in a game, they'll throw Malkin and Crosby on the same line. And if I'm the Islanders, maybe what I do is I just try to create one line that is as good as I can make. Barzal, Pageau, maybe Brock Nelson. That's tough, though, because those are three centermen. Anders Lee would probably be the answer on one of those wings. And just have one line that I think can create play and that can control possession versus whoever their opponent is on the Lightning. And then the other three lines just hold on and don't get scored on, basically. Like, maybe they do that, but otherwise, there's not also a lot they can do with this lineup. Like, there's only so many combinations that I think you could do what I just said, like, where you can have a line that's better than what Tampa's throwing out there.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. We'll see what happens tonight. I think it's going to be be an interesting game. I'm probably going to put my money down on Tampa.
Yeah, so you're picking Tampa in five at this point?
Yeah, I think at this point I'm healthy enough to say Tampa in five. That being said, if in fact the Islanders do come back and beat Tampa and they make it to the Stanley Cup final, I am going to go with the Islanders, because history always repeats itself. And if you recall, you said the last team to do that in a conference final was the 2000 New Jersey Devils.
Yes.
Who did the 2000 New Jersey Devils face in the Stanley Cup final?
That would be the Dallas Stars.
That would be the Dallas Stars. So if that happens and they come back, I will be on the Islanders.
I might have to do it too. I might have to. If it's Tampa, though, I think I'm most likely I'm going to be picking the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the Stanley Cup.
If only Ben Bishop was healthy and Ben Bishop could backstop the Stars to a victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning, who just kind of cast him aside. If, like, would they get like a fourth round pick for him? And he was a guy who brought them to a cup final like a year or two prior to that. I know that he again, injury prone, and that's kind of been the theme throughout his career. But like, this was a stud elite number one goalie, and they just said, banish you. Someone give us a fourth rounder for this garbage. And he turned out to be like a Vezina quality goaltender. And unfortunately, not going through the muck here this season with the Stars. He did play that one game, got lit up, and has been unfit to play ever since. So
yeah,
it sucks that he won't be able, most likely won't be playing against the former team in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Khudobin has been so good, though.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, so like Bishop to me has been maybe the most underrated goalie in the league for a decade. Khudobin's been up there too, though. He's been a backup, which has always made it tough to buy into him as being as good as his numbers have said. And especially when he's been in systems like the Bruins, for instance, where he put up huge numbers. Like, a lot of goalies are able to do that there. So Khudobin, though, for now, he has stabilized that net. And I think they would want Bishop to get back in there, because I do think he's one of the best goalies in hockey. But Khudobin is he's been good, so I don't think they're missing too much if he's in there.
And he's another guy who's going to be a free agent this year, so yes, another one to add to the pile.
Maybe that's Toronto. Maybe that's Toronto's starting goalie next year. Is Anton Khudobin?
I don't think so.
I think you have better ideas. And I think most Leaf fans would want something better than that. Maybe he's old, so it's not necessarily a long-term fix for anybody that's doing that. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. Enjoy the game tonight. Be sure to check out myself and Tom Gazzola for our Lockdown NHL podcast on Friday. Me and Mike will be back on Tuesday and hopefully previewing a Stanley Cup final, if not even talking about games by then. If it ends tonight, we'll have games in the bank by then. So we'll talk to you next week. This has been the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.